Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Good to have you along with us today, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area. And glad to have every single one of you along with us today. Yes, we are. We're here in the studio. I'm your host, Guy James, along with Billy Shears, musical director of the Guy James Show. And, of course, out in the lobby there, I see the official Guy James Show Yorkies, Sophie and Kukla, playing around. So I bring them to the studio just about every day. Not every day, but just about. They like to run around out there and have a good time. It's got a tile floor, so no problem if you know what I mean. Ah, yes, good to have all of you along with us today. A big day. Man, what a news cycle it's been the last 24 hours, huh? How many times have you ever seen a countdown clock on TV to let us know what time the president's speech was going to be on? How many times have you seen that? How cynical am I? This fellow gives a speech last night about all this, and today he has a Medal of Honor ceremony. You don't suppose that's just a coincidence, do you? No, certainly not. Is he above using a Medal of Honor ceremony to try and gain himself some points with the public? Certainly not. The man will do anything. And then he heads on out to Fort Bragg. I think it was Fort Bragg. And hang around with the soldiers out there, which makes him look, you know, very military-like. He always likes to hang out with the soldiers and let them know. Let them know how much he cares about them. Yeah. Yeah, it was I don't know who got the medal today. It was a Medal of Honor ceremony. I did see that. Somebody who had saved the life of one of their... I thought it was... I can't remember the name, but it was a Medal of Honor ceremony anyway. I take it that most of you, by now, have had a chance to at least find out the details of Junior's speech. If you didn't have the guts to watch it, I did. I took it for you. I took the bullet. I sat there and I took it. I watched every minute of it, and it was pain. It was agony. It was suffering of the highest degree. But I did it. I did it for you. You buy that? Well, I did. I watched it. And I have to tell you that prior to last night, I thought it had almost all of the text to Junior Bush's speech. I thought it had all of it. I didn't know there was any more. And the part I didn't have is the part that I went to bed worrying about last night. not only worrying, furious, livid. You know, we've joked, we've had our fun with Junior Bush, but the fun is over. In his pathetic speech last night, he finally showed the American public what we've been saying for some time now, and what he's showed them is that the man is he's absolutely psychopathic. Psychotic, call it what you want. He's delusional. He's a very delusional man who has no intentions whatsoever of letting go of his dream, that crazy dream of his, some kind of a dream of some kind of glorious victory in Iraq. He's willing to bet the life of every last American military personnel to try and win the longest of long shots. That's how desperate he is. He is, in fact, and maybe some of you have been to Vegas or Atlantic City or down on the Gulf Coast, and you've been in the casinos, and you've seen the kind of person that I'm thinking of right now, someone suffering from an addiction to gambling. Just one more hand of poker. Just one more spin of the roulette wheel. Just one more roll of the dice. Sure, I've lost almost all my money, and but I know I'll win it back. I'm out of cash, used up my credit line, maxed out the credit card, pawned my wedding ring, and the watch my wife gave me for her anniversary. I'm stuck in Vegas without a plane ticket out, and I've got nowhere to stay tonight because I got no money to get a room. But I've got to find a couple of bucks to bet because I know I'll get hot, and I'll go on a winning streak, and I'll get it all back and more. I know it. Oh, yeah, and I can... You know, I can go get the kid's piggy bank and put a second mortgage on my house. All I need's a few dollars. I know I can get even. That is exactly what George Bush showed us last night. That and the fact that he hasn't changed his course not one little bit. In fact, he put forth a new threat to Iran and Syria. Things weren't bad enough already, but he issues a challenge to a couple of countries are just likely to answer the challenge and cause Junior Bush to invade both countries. They're crazy enough to provoke him, and he's crazy enough to respond and turn the Middle East into some sort of a pile of atomic rubble. He is crazy enough to do it. His dream of world domination is alive and well. His dream of an American empire led by Emperor Bush is something that he absolutely longs for and believes in. He doesn't give a damn what the American people think. He doesn't give a damn what our military leaders think, and he sure as hell doesn't give a rat's behind what the rest of the world thinks. This is a guy, and I'm not kidding, it's a guy that should be put in a straitjacket and put in a padded cell. Before last night, I was pretty sure he was unstable, but he proved to me that he's willing to light the world on fire and damn the consequences. He actually told us, with that steely, beady-eyed look of his, that we can expect plenty of violence and bloodshed from Iraqis and our troops in the next year. And he told us it's not going to be like our fathers' victories with treaties signed on the decks of battleships. But he forgot to tell us just what the hell this victory is going to look like. And why? Because he doesn't have a clue. He hasn't had a clue about this war in Iraq. He hasn't a clue as to what a horror he might be starting with Iran. And he hasn't a clue as to why he ought to feel bad about 3,000 dead American troops. I really hope all of the American people soaked in all of that performance last night, that pathetic performance, a deer looking into the headlights, scared to death because his legacy is riding on this, and he knows he's losing. I hope the 21% or so of the people still willing to listen to his insane ideas finally realize what we're dealing with here. I hope... It's stupid to hope, I know. Surely our right-wing listeners are sane enough to understand what happened last night. Surely they realize that Bush jumped over the cliff. Please tell me that those who still back him now realize he's mentally unfit to hold the office of president. I looked up something in his daddy's book last night, and I'll get to the phones in just a moment. Hang on, everybody. But I looked up something from his daddy's book. And I want to quote his daddy. To occupy Iraq would instantly shatter our coalition, turn the whole Arab world against us, and make a broken tyrant a latter-day Arab hero. It would have taken us way beyond the international law that was bestowed by the resolution of the Security Council, assigning young soldiers to a fruitless hunt for a securely entrenched dictator and condemning them to fight in what would be an unwinnable urban guerrilla war. It would only plunge that part of the world into even greater instability and destroy the credibility we were working so hard to establish. Those are the words of Bush Daddy. He had General Norman Schwarzkopf, who has remained strangely silent about this war, and he had General Colin Powell, both advising him. Even Junior's own daddy must now realize that Junior's trolley has come off the tracks. He must be so ashamed and humiliated by the actions of this little tyrant. If Congress doesn't stop him now, they ought to be impeached. This is it. Enough is enough. I guess the whole thing was less palatable than usual because I had a dream the other night that he'd take the opportunity to resign last night. I thought maybe, just maybe, he might pull a Dick Nixon and say, as of noon tomorrow, I'm going to resign the office of President of the United States, that he might understand how the American public feels towards him, the hatred towards him. I thought he might just get the message and bail out. I'd like to know how he explains that he says God told him to attack Iraq. Was God wrong? Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Excuse me, this is Sarge.
Hi, Sarge.
This is really scary because this man has just broke a very long-standing and a very observed law, international law. You do not invade a sovereign nation's embassy, and you certainly don't invade the embassy of a sovereign nation in another sovereign nation's territory.
You're right. They piled it on today. Is that not frightening?
I mean, this is scary. I had an interview with the mayor of this town. I'm working on some Katrina stuff here. And he told me when he heard, he said, this is just lunacy. This is Hitler lunacy. You know, is he trying to punish the American people for their vote in November? Because if you stop and think about it, Hitler at the end, when he saw he was ruined, when he saw everything was just gone for him, he actually made it to where things would be worse for the German people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just wondering, has this moron hit that stage, or just about the only difference is he thinks he can survive it?
They haven't called the 13-year-olds up yet, but can't be far off, can it?
I mean,
you're right, Sarge. When I heard that today about them storming an Iranian consulate, I thought, man, oh, man, that's an incredible, I mean, they're provoking them.
Yeah, well, hey, that's an act of war. There's no way around
it. Certainly is.
It's an act of war, and it's a war we can't possibly fight, let alone win.
That's
Jesus
right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This is scary, man. And even the Republicans around here who have been so hardcore Bush up until just now, even some of them are now telling me, what is his problem? I mean, holy crap.
Yeah, and then to make matters worse, after we leave the building, after we take away some of the people, the Iranian authorities out of their consulate, we turn the building over to the Kurds. That's going to make them really happy over in Iran as well.
Oh God, this is fate now. This is man. Hitler is probably, you know, wherever he is, he's looking on and saying, "Good God!" And all the world went to war against me for that.
That's right.
It's stupid, man, and we, the American people, had better do something. If we can, it may be too late to even do anything. I don't know, Guy, but this is scary. This is absolutely the scariest thing I have ever seen in my life, and I have been around since the JFK assassination. I remember it.
Hey, you've been around since the Civil War. Come on, Sarge. You're not fooling anybody.
Well, no, I was born a year after that.
Okay.
Hey, John, thank you, man. And we got to get serious. Let's make those phone calls. Let's get in touch with people. Let's demand this.
We will. We're going to keep the pot stirred on this one. Thanks, Sarge.
Okay. See you.
All right. Let's go over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
Susan from Columbia City.
Hi there.
I just wanted to put in, I'm calling for the same reason Sarge is. I wanted to put in my two cents about the last two rulers who, famous rulers, who tried to open up a two-front war. Their names were Napoleon and Hitler, and we both know what happened to them.
Yep.
He should maybe think about that if he is capable of thinking. Frankly, I don't think he is.
He's got some sort of a Napoleonic complex. I really think he does.
Crazy as a
bedbug. Yeah, he has to be. We used to just say that, to throw a little something at him. But I firmly believe it now that he's not dealing with the proverbial full deck.
I have been calling senators all morning. I'm going to be calling all the rest of them, Republicans as well as Democrats. I have one message for all of them. If and when you get a bill of impeachment from the House, please vote to convict. This man is crazy. He is going to kill us all.
Yep, he's got to go. Thank you for your call. Good to hear from you.
You too, Guy. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we'll have to keep track of the calls today. See how many people want to impeach George Bush and how many people would like to keep him. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. Let's go ahead and impeach him.
Okay, that's 3-0.
This is Ray from Baton Rouge.
Hi, Ray.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
I've got a few things, you know, with all these prophets that say they're hearing God.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Robertson says God said there's going to be a problem towards the end of the year, but didn't say whether it was nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his God should know everything, even, you know, that the fact that we're going to want to know it's nuclear. Why didn't he tell him that?
Yeah.
Another thing is George Bush, I think it was last week, was in Crawford, Texas. He went into an armored vehicle because there was a tornado in the area.
Right.
Why didn't God tell him, don't worry about it? I'm not sending a tornado over there.
Well, maybe he's close, but not that close. You know, maybe they're not on a first name basis. I don't know.
Must not be. I just thought I'd pass that on.
Yeah.
It was just something I had, you know, kind of sticking in the back of my head saying, well, look, he talks to God. Why didn't God say, no, you don't have to worry about that?
You're in Baton Rouge, Ray.
Pardon?
You're in Baton Rouge.
Yes, sir.
I have to tell you, one of the best times I ever had in my life was in Baton Rouge.
I can understand.
I came down for an OSU-LSU football game, and there's no place like going and seeing the Tigers play down there. It's a wonderful experience. My money was no good in that town. I ate, drank, and had a wonderful time there. And there's nobody like the LSU fans, I got to tell you.
Yeah, we'll have a party for anything.
I believe that.
Our Earth Day celebrations, we trash everything.
I'm an official colonel of the state of Louisiana.
I have a cousin who was, too.
I have a certificate and a plaque and all that sort of thing. The distinguished, the very distinguished Governor Edward Edwards made me the... Is he still in prison?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well...
Thank God.
Okay, hey, Ray, thank good God. To hear from you.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Ah, yes. I spent a week in Baton Rouge one night. Let's go back to line three. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil in Daytona.
Hi, Phil.
Certainly impeach.
Okay, that's 4-0.
Doesn't Congress, who took an oath to uphold the Constitution, have a duty to impeach this guy?
I think they do. And we're going to hear from a legal expert in a little bit, not about impeachment, but we're going to hear, coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to hear from a law professor from Ohio State.
From
going to tell
Ohio
us.
Ohio State. I was reading it on the web page. I know you got callers. I just want to alert people to get out to their local demonstrations tonight. We got to hit the streets. Congress doesn't move unless we move them, and these kids are dying. CodePinkAlert.org. Type in your zip code. Find your local demonstration. Get your butts out there.
Did you see they went after the White House last night? About 10 minutes after that speech was over, they were demonstrating out in front of the White House.
We got to.
Yeah.
I mean, freedom isn't free. You got to participate.
It's going to come to that. It's going to come to that. It's going to be a big deal.
Well, a couple hundred people are going to die today and tomorrow, the longer we sit on our asses. Now, get out there, people. CodePinkAlert.org. Type in your zip code and give an hour tonight. Thank you.
Good idea. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, we're headed toward a crisis. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The way it looks, that the hardcore people on the Republican side in the Senate and the House probably are looking toward a constitutional crisis here. And frankly, I hope it comes. I think it's time that we do have a constitutional crisis where we can sort a few things out. There are some things that need to be sorted out in this country, and one of them is not to let some pseudo-dictator set himself up in the White House and decide that he knows himself what everything that's good and proper for the United States to do, including the military, and he's a military expert as well. If we need a constitutional crisis over this, if we need a huge fight in the House and the Senate, let's have it. Let's go to it. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's do it. Because, and I want to tell you something. I know for a fact, and you're all starting to see it today, that all of your phone calls and all of your emails and your letters, however you contact your congresspeople, it's working. The tide is turning. And I got a feeling there's going to be a regular tsunami coming here in not very long, because a lot of the Republicans are starting to flip. And I don't say that disrespectfully. They're finally starting to see what this is all about. They finally understand that they don't have to be under the thumb of this president, because this president is, he's done. He's cooked. He's finished. His legacy is gone. And although he can't run for office again, he can sure as hell drag the rest of them down with him, and they don't want any part of that. And so the smart ones are starting to bail. And you're going to see more and more and more of that every day. Chuck Hagel came out with a rather strong statement. There are others, and there will be more. You can count on that. And some of the members of the House are coming over now. They're saying that we may have as many as, I forgot what the number was. I was almost thinking as many as 70 Republicans, don't quote me on that, that might flip and come out against this escalation of Bush's war. So this is an important time. It's an interesting time in history, certainly not a pleasant time. I'd just as soon be watching movies at night and not having to even watch the political news. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just all turn and, well, hey, you'd still listen to this show, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd talk about something else. We'll talk about, well, we won't talk about college football. But, yeah, we'll find something else to talk about. But wouldn't it be good if we could just put it away? Put it away for a while and know that we had a terrific group in the House and a terrific group in the Senate, and that the will of the people was being carried out. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go to bed every night knowing that? Knowing that some lobbyist wasn't taking your senator out to dinner that night and promising him how much money for his campaign if he'd do something that was against your interest, pharmaceutical company. Yeah, it would be good. I think we're a long way off from that, but we can hope, can't we? Yeah, we can hope. Again, I want to mention that am I so cynical? I see that he was presenting the Medal of Honor to somebody today, and I am so cynical now that I don't think that it was an accident. It was not a coincidence that they had the ceremony today, the morning after. The guy's looking for anything he can get to try and get any positive bump, kick, whatever. He's trying everything. He's putting it all out there, and he can't do it. And I saw something that was rather very disconcerting today. Did you know that yesterday they announced that the United States is going to deploy Patriot anti-missile systems in the Middle East as part of its efforts to stabilize the volatile region? Patriot anti-missile systems. Folks, the insurgents don't have any missiles. You get me? Who are these for? We're not fighting anybody right now that has any missiles, so we don't need an anti-missile system. Who are the Patriot missiles for? You know who they're for. They're for Iran, and they're for Syria. And they're planning on doing it, and they're going to do it. He's crazy. And he will do. You know, I hate to say this as an American. I really do. It hurts me. There was a time in my life that no matter what anybody said, my country, right or wrong, come hell or high water, but I don't feel that way anymore. I don't get more conservative as I get older. I get more liberal. But, you know, much has been made on the TV shows and all the talk shows about how crazy Ahmadinejad of Iran is. I'll lay even money that he's not any crazier than George Bush. I would, I'd empty my billfold out on that one. He's not a bit crazier than George Bush. Speaking of crazy, you know, y'all know who Hugh Hewitt is, right? The crazy talk show guy. I read his synopsis of Georgie Boy's speech last night, and I thought, hell, he must have been watching a different speech. He had to be. He certainly was. Here's what Hugh Hewitt said, to give you some idea how cracked up some of these right wingers and Hannity had good things to say about it as well. Hugh Hewitt said President Bush was at his best tonight. I'm going to try and tell you this, quote this with a serious, with a straight face. President Bush was at his best tonight, serious, detailed, and above all, resolute. He spoke to many audiences, to the public weary and grieved by the death of many of the finest Americans. The president spoke of the crucial issue for the safety of our people. America must succeed in Iraq. It isn't, he explained repeatedly, just about giving Iraqis hope, but maintaining American security for all of the reasons he detailed. Iraqis who desire peace heard the commitment, but they also heard its contingent nature. The Iraqi government has run out of time to dodge the tough choices. Our enemies did not hear what they had hoped to, a declaration of surrender, whether phrased as a timetable or a simple we quit. They know that as long as Bush is in office, they will not win in Iraq. I got news for you, Hugh. As long as Bush is in Iraq, we're not going to win. Bush is in office, we're not going to win in Iraq either. So there you go. We got a stalemate going on. Hugh Hewitt, crazier than a bedbug there. And I heard this guy that they thought they got down in Somalia, this big honcho in Al-Qaeda, it turned out they didn't get him. Are we losing a war? You remember the days when we used to kill the number three guys in Al-Qaeda about every 3 weeks? Remember that? Hey, he was the number three guy in Al-Qaeda. We've killed 72 guys that were the number three guys. And I never get up to number two or number one, of course. It seems like months since we last killed the number three guy. We losing our edge over there? And Howard Fineman, I loved his wrap-up of the speech last night. He says, George W. Bush spoke with all the confidence of a perp in a police lineup. He said, I first interviewed the guy in 1987 and began covering his political rise in 1993, and I have never seen him in public or private look less convincing, less sure of himself, less cocky. With his knitted brow and stricken features, he looked, well, scared. Not surprising, since what he was doing in the White House library was announcing the escalation of a terribly unpopular war. Well, you've got it exactly right, Howard. But you know, Bush and his team, they've set the agenda. It's either escalate or withdraw. There's no middle ground, no diplomacy, no innovation, no nothing. It's guns or nothing. It's a false choice. And I can only hope that every American citizen with a pulse today sees it for what it is. It's an absolute jaw-dropping disconnection from even the slightest hint of reality. There was no reality in that speech last night. I thought it interesting that he gave the speech from the White House Library. I said, no speech has ever been given from that venue before. I can't help but think that Georgie probably never been in that room before. Do they have copies? Ray Hinckley asked, how many copies of My Pet Goat do they have in that library? Yes. And hey, by the way, we've now got a little better setup here in the studio that if you'd like to send an email during the show, you may do so without me having to jockey around and go from one browser to another to another to another. We've now got the email right here, and if you'd like to send an email, why, you may do so, guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com, and I hope you will do that. You know, Maliki and his ministers, I'm not talking about you know, our kind of ministers. I'm talking about their kind of ministers. They're saying they don't want more troops. Maliki hasn't said it in public, but some of his ministers over there, interior ministers and so forth, are saying that he has told them privately that he does not want more American troops in that country. And they don't either. Because all that does is signify that we're there to stay, we're there to rape and pillage them for their oil and take more undue influence in their country, that we want to run their country, and the people don't want that. And if they think, you know, one of the craziest things that Junior said last night, which, you know, had me shaking my head, my wife and I sat there and watched that, and even the puppies were shaking their heads. I mean, it's that insane. That he says, well, Maliki is going to go tell Muqtada al-Sadr that they're not going to put up with their militia anymore, and they better, you know, they better just disband and walk away from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all, Muqtada al-Sadr is the one that put Maliki in office, made sure the people voted for him, got him in office. He's got him wrapped around his little finger, and also Maliki needs al-Sadr's militia to go against the Sunnis in the manner in which he wants to. He's not going to tell him to do anything. I don't know. He's completely lost it. And we find out, we hear from some of the people over to the National Security Council that some of the people that helped form the strategy of Bush's decided to send more troops into Iraq simply because the Baker-Hamilton group didn't want to send, they wanted to pull troops out. Daddy's group, you understand? Daddy's group recommended taking troops out of Iraq, so naturally, Junior is going to put troops into Iraq. What a good son he is. What a very, very good son. But, you know, one thing about it is this is a very dangerous time right now. First of all, I was thinking about it. What if? You know, I was trying to stay a step or two ahead of these guys. What if, what if, what if? What if we had another 9/11 event in this country right now? You know what you'd be facing? Not only the tragedy of that, I think you wouldn't be able to distinguish this country very much from the police state in Germany in 1933, 34, 35 if we had another 9/11 event here. That is the kind of control that Junior Bush wants over this government. He's done his very best to get that. And make no mistake about it, Junior Bush and Dick Cheney are like cornered rats right now. And you know, being the farm boy, how I feel about cornered rats. Bush needs a new war. This one's gone bad. He needs one he can win that he thinks he can win. And it'd be easier to blame losing Iraq on war with Iran rather than the fools that can't keep Baghdad occupied. It's the new Berlin East-West meets Sunni Shiite type thing going on. Bush has got a gun with one bullet in it. And this miserable little Barney Fife isn't about to lose if he can stand. He's all alone. He's all alone while the rest of them are playing him like a cheap fiddle. You know, Ahmadinejad and over Syria, they're thinking that he's a he's a butt monkey of the highest order. That's what he is. Let's see here. We're going to go. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Guy, tell me again why they dusted off them lottery balls.
The lottery balls?
Yeah.
I'm
for the draft?
Oh, for that. Oh, yeah. Well, Charlie's having a little fun with that, isn't he? You know, you can see the sparkle in his eye when he's talking about it. Charlie Rangel no more wants a draft than the man in the moon, but he's going to stick it to the fat cats with this thing and make them do some, what is it, Ricky always said, you got some splaining to do, Lucy.
Well, Guy, I don't know if we go into Iran and, you know, get into a tug of war with Syria, you tell me what we're going to do for troops.
Oh, well, absolutely. We wouldn't have enough to do that, which makes me understand that they wouldn't have any, they really have no intentions of doing that with ground troops, would you think?
Well, I wouldn't think so. But,
no. You don't want to get in a lying contest with the world's champion liar. They'll go in and nuke them. That's all there is to it.
Well, tell me what the general will tell you that you can win a war with just air power.
Yeah, well, regular air power, but they put a few nukes on him over there. That'll change things in a hurry. I think that's what he's up to.
Hey, Guy, did you see that Harvard study, university study report on the VA?
No.
It said that the VA is going to have a shortfall of between $350 and $700 billion, that the VA is broken.
Chicken feed. Put it on our tab.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we don't need the money.
No.
And one last question I was going to ask you, Guy, is did you see the Frontline report on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
It was real good. It was on the resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Oh, man, what a situation. What a situation.
That was an excellent report that they had, and the Taliban is completely back in power. That Karzai ain't allowed out of his house. You know,
he's not going anywhere. No.
And, one other thing. How much oil do they have in Pakistan? How's come we're not getting into it with Pakistan? Because a half of Al Qaeda is they go in between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and from that report, United States paid I don't know how many millions of dollars to these. Afghan fighters who then took the money and gave it to Al Qaeda.
Yeah, well, you know, they got friends too.
And just none of this stuff makes any sense. And then the UK is going to pull out 3,500 troops by May.
Yeah.
And we're sending troops over there.
That's going to leave us there with who else? About what, 60 more other troops from other countries? I think 60 troops from about 12 other countries. I'm not sure.
A great coalition, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm going to listen to the rest of your program so I can get informed. And I'm for impeachment.
All right, we're batting 1,000. Thanks, Bill.
Take care, guys.
Bye now. Well, there you have it. It's 100% for impeachment on the show already. The Democrats are showing a little spine, a little. Naturally, Ted Kennedy's in there fighting. I think he's totally pissed over the whole thing. You can always count on Ted. Dennis Kucinich is in there fighting. You know, it's going to take some. It's going to take some convincing, some cajoling, some threatening, all that from you and I. And just because these people are Democrats doesn't mean they're going to roll over and do what we want to on the first time around. So we have to keep after them. And like I mentioned early on in the show. It's working. It is working. You can see it working. You can watch C-SPAN. You can see the talking heads. Read all the reports. They're starting to go. They're starting to go. And I knew they would if we'd keep after them, and we have so far. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll have our guest with us to talk about Bush's legal authority to do what he's trying to do.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Love is but a song we sing, fears we will die. You can make mountains ring, or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know why. Returns for us at last. We are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass. Come on, people, now smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another.
All right. Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Get a little bit cloudy here in Southwest Florida today. I hear various people around the country getting a little snow today, and especially up toward Columbus, Ohio, where our next guest is from. We have Professor John Quigley, who is professor of law at The Ohio State University, a place near and dear to my heart. And Professor Quigley, are you with us?
I am.
Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. You know, we're all amateurs here when talking about the law. And the law, the legal authority of the President of the United States is very much in the news right now. And I wondered if you could, and I couldn't think of anybody better to enlighten us about what authority does Mr. Bush have and what doesn't he have? We've heard many Congress people here the past few days say there's not anything we can do about his escalation of the war. We've heard others say they're going to try. How do you see it?
Well, I think there are things that Congress can do. The power
over war under our Constitution is basically in the hands of the Congress. I mean, the way the framers of the Constitution set it up, the president wasn't supposed to be able to make decisions to take the country to war. That power was put into the hands of the Congress. I think the framers just thought that that was much too serious a thing to let a single person do. So that's the way it was set up. Now, the Congress hasn't been as strict in exercising its role as it might have been. And there have been many instances where the president has taken the initiative to send troops into a situation, usually for a very short time, but sometimes longer. And the Congress back in 1973 decided on a system to deal with this. They adopted an act called the War Powers Resolution, which says that if the president wants to send troops somewhere, the president can do so, but if the Congress does not adopt a declaration of war or some other kind of authorizing resolution within 60 days, then the power of the president to continue that activity terminates.
Why do you think that Congress in the past has ceded some of that authority to the presidency?
That's a good question, and I think nobody is really sure. In part, it's that the president had been encroaching on Congress for a long time, and I think members of Congress thought that maybe the best way to combat the president was to concede a little bit to the president, so as to say that, well, it's all right if you do take the initiative sometimes, but you have to acknowledge our right to after a short period of time to say that you can't do it anymore.
Okay. So we're at a spot here now where Bush has taken the authority. He did have the Iraq War Resolution. He got that passed. Everybody was in a war frenzy at the time, and what little evidence they had of you know, the points that they tried to use to go to war turned out to be false, but it didn't matter. What about the people now? I heard Joe Biden say that there's nothing we can do. I've heard others say that Ted Kennedy says there is something we can do. Where are we? Are our hands completely tied on this?
No, I think not. Certainly the Congress allocates money for this activity, and if it decides that it doesn't want to allocate money to fund another 20,000 going into Iraq, it can do that. I mean, the president has been submitting these huge supplemental appropriations requests, and I think the Congress has been unwilling to vote against them because the president is putting it in a way that makes it sound as if the Congress isn't supporting the troops. But when you're talking about adding a new large number of troops, I don't think that applies very much. And so I think that's one way that they could deal with it. The other thing they could do is to pass a resolution calling on a withdrawal in a particular time frame or framed in some other fashion, or they could simply adopt a resolution saying that the authority that they gave the president back in 2002, as you were mentioning it, that authority has run its course. I mean, if you look at what the Congress did authorize in October of 2002, it was to authorize the president to use the armed forces of the United States as he determines to be necessary and appropriate in order to defend the national security of the United States against the continuing threat posed by Iraq. Now, that was premised, of course, as you were suggesting, on there being weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that might get used against the United States. It was premised as well, of course, on the Ba'ath Party and Saddam Hussein being in power. And since those conditions don't exist anymore, it would seem to me that whatever authorization the Congress gave, the president has used, and that authorization can't justify keeping troops in Iraq indefinitely.
Well, suppose we get to the point where Congress does pass a resolution like that and tells Mr. Bush that he can't go forward with this. And Mr. Bush said, I don't care what you think. I'm the president. I'm the chief executive. I'm the commander-in-chief. I'm going to do what I want. I think, and Alberto Gonzalez and I think, that we're right. What then?
Well, our courts are not likely to get involved in such a thing. They are very reticent to deal with conflicts between the executive branch and the legislative branch. Courts in other countries, actually, in particular in Western Europe, are a bit more ready to get involved in things like that in their domestic systems, but our courts are not. So I think that is not a possible means of dealing with it. I think what is left for Congress is impeachment. That would be the only thing, that this would be viewed as under the way the impeachment law reads, a high crime or misdemeanor that is violating the will of Congress, taking the country to war, and so impeachment would be the only route that would be open.
Well, yeah, other countries do have other ways of dealing with it. I guess in the old days in Central America, we'd have a good old coup on our hands and
yes,
troops
yes.
surrounding the White House, which sometimes, well, no, I'm not going to go there. So if Bush tells the Congress, if they pass a resolution, and if I've got this right from you, they pass a resolution and Bush says, drop dead, I'm the chief exec and I think I'm right and you're wrong, then as a matter of course, the only thing that's going to happen is the Congress is going to have to decide whether to impeach him or not over it. And I guess the question would be then how many Republicans would go along with it. I've seen quite a change here in the past few days about this. I've seen a lot of Republicans all of a sudden change over. It seems like the general mood of Congress is starting to change on it. So I don't know. It's going to come to a head sometime soon. I don't think it's going to take very long either. We're starting to hear a little more fiery rhetoric from the sides. But what about the 60-day grace period that the War Powers Resolution lets Congress put in place?
Well, I mean, it's a period of time in which the president can do what the president wants, but if Congress doesn't adopt a resolution by the end of that period, then the authority to use force ends. What it says is within 60 calendar days, the president shall terminate any use of United States Armed Forces unless Congress has declared war or has enacted a specific authorization for such use of United States Armed Forces.
So they would have 60 days. If he goes ahead and sends the troops in there right now and they pass this resolution, do you think they'll use that act and give him the 60 days?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't need to pass anything now. But if 60 days elapse, and if he sends 20,000, 60 days elapse, and Congress hasn't adopted an approving resolution, then at that point the president is in violation of the War Powers Resolution. At that point they could go for impeachment proceedings, which, as we were saying, is probably the only route they have open to them, actually, to force the president's hand.
Well, you've watched Congress over the years. Where do you think this is going?
Well, I think, as you were saying, that many on the Republican side now seem to be critical of the president. Those are people who are going to be running for election again, as the president is not. And I think he might find that he's getting deserted by people in his own camp on this. And that could very well lead to an effort to stop the funding of it. I think the funding is a more likely route for the Congress to take in order to rein the president in on this.
I'm thinking the Democrats don't have the guts to do it. I think they're afraid of being tarred and feathered again like they were at the beginning of this conflict. It's going to be interesting to see if they can distinguish between not funding a new effort, an escalated effort, and keeping that separate in the public's eye, you know, without being tarred and feathered like they certainly were before. They were very reticent to say anything or do anything when this whole thing started, but the shoe's kind of on the other foot right now, I think. Well, he's going to go ahead and do it, and I see the troops are being ready to be sent over there now already, and I know you're not a military tactician, and I'm not either, but I can't see how an additional 10 or 15% of troops in that cauldron over there is going to make a whole lot of difference. So it appears to me that this is a last-ditch effort to try and save his legacy. Do you see it that way?
I do. I can't see that he could or his advisors could really think that this is going to turn things around in the country. If you look at how bad things have gone there, and the internal fighting and the government not really being a government of the entire country, those are things that are not going to be turned around by having more troops in Baghdad, even if they are able for a period of time to quiet the violence a bit in the capital city there.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think one thing a lot of people need to remember, we were talking about impeachment a few moments ago. Back when Nixon, they were threatening Nixon with impeachment, it wasn't the Democrats that put him out. It was the Republicans that went to him and talked to him and said, "Hey, Mr. Nixon, you're the game's up here. So, we may be well looking at another situation like that." Professor Quigley, I so appreciate you being on the program today. As you and I joked a little banter before we went on today, things are rather quiet in Columbus right now, me being a big old Buckeye fan, it's rather loud down here, and I'm going to be hearing it for some time to come, I'm afraid, but we had a good year nonetheless.
Yeah, well, we're happy for the Gators, but we're not talking about it much around here.
Yeah, I'm sure. I threw away the sports page yesterday, a couple of days ago. I didn't even want to read it. Professor John Quigley, thanks so much for being on the program today once again, and we'll see how this turns out. And you've got a book out right now, don't you?
Yes, it's called The Ruses for War, American Interventionism Since World War II.
Availability?
Actually, it's a new edition that's about to come out, so it won't be out for a couple of months.
Okay, The Ruses for War, American Interventionism Since World War II. Interesting. Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye now. Don't want to forget the man's book. That's a deadly sin. interesting man, Professor Quigley, and he is at... the Law College at Ohio State University, and awfully glad to have him along today. Interesting to hear, we can argue back and forth, we laymen here, about the law. We all think we're lawyers, I guess. Okay, I was just looking at the chat room here for a minute. Why do Democrat soldiers' families not get reimbursed for all the money that they lost preparing to sacrifice their children unto America? Oh, man. Yeah. Sad. What a situation. Do you think we're going to end up with a big crisis over this? Do you think Bush is going to end up going down to Capitol building and telling them, hell no, I'm not listening to anything you have to say? Has he got the guts to do that? Would he resign first if it comes to that? Do you think, and this will be a question for the next hour, do you think Mr. Bush is of a mind to resign if the numbers continue to spiral out of control the way they have for him? They can't get a whole lot lower. But if he realizes that the entire nation's against him and even Barney the dog hates him, do you think he's the kind of guy that would just say, okay, I'm going to chuck it, I'm going to walk out of here? Or do you think he's the kind of guy, I was going to say, goes down guns a-blazing? He'll go down with somebody else's guns a-blazing, not his. He'll throw it all away before he'll, head for the bunker. All right. a bunker and one pill and one bullet. Oh, what a nice scenario that was. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, along with music director Billy Shears. And we're going to pause for the news at the top of the hour. If I can find the news here, here we go. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Quality News Network. A day after President Bush addressed the nation on his Iraq policy and announced an additional 21,500 troops would be sent to Iraq, Congress is responding. The president's plan is opposed by many Democrats and some Republican lawmakers. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said the president stands virtually alone in his decision to escalate the war. In Senate hearings today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice acknowledged the sacrifices made in the war that has gone on for nearly 4 years and cost more than 3,000 American soldiers' lives. In a heated exchange with Nebraska Republican Senator Chuck Hagel, she disputed the idea that Iraq is in a civil war, saying that's just not true. She also did not characterize the 22,000 additional troops as an escalation. Instead, she said it was an augmentation. Earlier, Defense Secretary Robert Gates admitted he didn't know how long the troop buildup would last. Many National Guard and Reserve troops would be recalled to duty sooner as part of the buildup. Gates also said over the next 5 years, the overall size of the Army and Marine Corps would need to increase by 92,000 forces combined. The newest AP Ipsos poll finds that only 29% of Americans approve of how President Bush has handled the war. More than two-thirds of those polled disapprove. Furthermore, 70% oppose a troop surge. In the northern Iraqi city of Erbil today, U.S.-led forces took six Iranians into custody. Reports say they were part of Tehran's diplomatic mission. The Kurdish regional government condemned the action and demanded their immediate release. In Afghanistan, NATO says that two large groups of suspected Taliban militants were killed. However, the Taliban says that report is a lie. The insurgents were said to be crossing the border from Pakistan. The U.S. airstrike in Somalia did not kill the top al-Qaeda terrorist accused of bombing two U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998, as was originally thought. A senior U.S. official said that up to 10 al-Qaeda affiliated terrorists were killed, but they were not the most wanted suspect. Those three remain at large. In Bangladesh, the head of the interim government declared a state of emergency. Then he resigned. There have been violent demonstrations recently in the poor country. The army has been called in to control the violence over the past few months. Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut announced today that he will run for president in 2008. He described himself as a dark horse candidate. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
In California, the Coastal Commission has placed restrictions on sonar use by the U.S. Navy. Researchers say marine mammals such as whales and sea lions may be injured by sonar. Los Angeles may follow New York City's lead to ban artificial trans fat in restaurants. County supervisors voted this week to study the idea. The House of Representatives began debate today on legislation that would provide taxpayer-funded research for embryonic stem cells. The controversial research is opposed by President Bush, and he has threatened to veto it once again. The Senate will now take up the federal minimum wage bill that passed the House yesterday. It would boost the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour in three steps over 2 years. The Democrats may add tax breaks for businesses so that they can stay competitive. Six Flags, the struggling theme parks operator, will sell seven of its amusement parks for $312 million to reduce its debt. Cisco Systems is suing Apple over its new iPhone. Cisco claims the phone, which was unveiled this week, violates its trademark and wants the court to stop Apple from using the name iPhone. Light Sweet Crude is trading below $53 a barrel today. Currently, it's at $52.30 on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and on Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 84 points. The NASDAQ is up 23 points, and the S&P 500 is up 9. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? My creation! Life.
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back. Did you learn anything during the news? I hope so. I wasn't listening, so I don't know if they said anything important or not. I don't know. I should look and see what the latest breaking news is right now. There could be an all-out war in the Middle East, and I guess, I would know it. Somebody would send me a... You'd let me know, wouldn't you? No, I do. I'm able to keep up to date here in the studio. 866-546-5254. We're taking a poll today, you know. Would you? And all the hands go up in the studio audience. Didn't even have to ask the question. They know the question. Would you impeach Mr. Junior Bush? Gosh, that's not looking good for him today. We can honestly say that our official Guy James poll today says 100% of the respondents to the poll, 100%, have asked for the impeachment of one George W. Bush. I was going to say the Honorable George W. Bush, but no, that doesn't fit, does it? No. How many of you saw his little speech last night? Did you see it? It was about 20 minutes. No smirking, none of that usual, putting his elbow down on the rostrum and smirking and grinning at folks and looking all condescending. And he didn't do that last night, did he? I've heard several people say they thought he did a wonderful job last night. I was perusing the right wing websites today, and I thought, he's really forceful. And I said, jeez. Doesn't that really wow you? I mean, the President of the United States, this guy standing up, did it really give you confidence? yes. Didn't give me much confidence. 866-546-5254. You know, when you stop and think about it, and you think about little Georgie Bush himself, this little emperor boy, this little boy king, this little ass clown that he is, it's a scary thought. It's a very scary thought. When you look at him and you know for a fact that the President of the United States has no idea what the hell he's doing. I haven't liked several of our presidents, but I never looked at a single one of them and thought, you know, this guy is dumber than a hoe handle. I've never looked at one like that before until this guy. And, you know, and what other conclusion can you draw? We knew it before last night, but there again, he ratified our beliefs for 20 minutes last night, went on and on. The U.S. has been at war in Iraq longer than it was involved in World War II. You remember that war, the one against Hitler's Germany and Mussolini's Italy and Imperial Japan. The one your dad, your grandfather, maybe even your grandfather calls the big one. My father was in it. He was in the Navy in the Pacific. The one that engulfed all of Europe, a lot of Asia, and a good chunk of Africa, that war. Well, it looks like Junior Bush is going to keep this one going for as long as he can. Even before he spoke last night, the Associated Press reported that elements of the, what was it, the 82nd Airborne Division stationed in Kuwait were getting ready for deployment in Iraq. Before he even gave the speech. Ray says, but a hoe handle has a purpose. George Bush doesn't have a good one. These people, I should have them writers for the show. They always have better things to say than I do. You know, it's really hard to know what to think. Should we be outraged over this or incredulous? Bush might be ignorant, but he's not stupid. It's hard not to conclude that his arrogance knows no bounds or that he's crazy. You know, you talk that he might face impeachment by the newly Democratic House of Representatives. I think it's a fitting dream, but kind of an unlikely reality. Maybe they should replace those calls for impeachment by calls that he undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Man, I'd love to see the results of that. But even if Bush were found to be certifiable, you stop and think about it, the thought of his being replaced by that even more dangerous political psychopath, Mr. Dick Darth Vader Cheney, is probably even more frightening, so they've got to get rid of him first. And really, when it comes down to it, there's no elegant way to put it. We're screwed. Yes. Given the intricacies of the way they run the federal budget nowadays, Bush already has the money to get more troops into Iraq. He's already got it. If he didn't, he wouldn't be sending them right now. So he's going to send them over there, and then he's going to accuse everybody of not wanting to send more money. Well, you're not taking care of the troops over there. But he does have the money to put him in there right now, and it's likely that the first step in stopping him might be to place a limit on the number of troops that he could deploy. But, as we mentioned before, some of the key congressmen, Joe Biden for one, since says there's no meaningful physical breaks that can be put on Bush's escalation of troops levels until next year. And even if Congress were to be summoned, if they could somehow get up the gumption or the guts to go do the right thing, the common sensible thing, and deny funding for additional troops, as Senator Ted Kennedy urges, there's absolutely no reason to believe, let alone hope, that Bush would accept the duly constituted authority of Congress. And I think I've looked at this a lot, and in all deference to Professor Quigley, it seems more certain that the nation will eventually face a constitutional showdown. I know the courts don't like to get involved in these, but this is one they might have to. Bush lied to get us into Iraq. He lied to keep us there. He's ignored the swing in public opinion against the war. He's been indifferent, if not contemptuous, of any international opinion. You know, when you stop to think about him and Rumsfeld and Cheney, they've just literally given the rest of the world the finger. The Germans, the French, everybody. They've given them the fingers. Up yours, boys. We're the smart ones. He's completely unmindful of his father's apparent reservations about the war. He scorned the Iraq study group recommendation that we cut our losses and get out. Although if he scorned his father's advice, why did we ever expect him to take the advice of his own dad's Secretary of State, James Baker? But I think Bush is as dangerous as he is ignorant. And while we can still hope that the Democratic House and the increasingly skeptical Senate might yet stand up to him, the odds are long that Congress will do that. I'd be shocked if they cut off funding for the war. I would. I mean, I think they absolutely should, but I will be shocked if they do that. But again, it's up to you and I to stay after him to do that. And Senator Kennedy might be a consummate Washington inside player, but he is far to the left of most in either one of the congressional chambers. And Kennedy might be assuming a historic and very definitely courageous burden by arguing that funds for more troops be cut, but it is, in my opinion, by no means certain that others will all of a sudden acquire the backbone that they need to stand up and stare down Junior Bush. But in the few weeks and months to come, I think one of the people to keep an eye on is Republican Senator John Warner of Virginia. He is a sensible man. And if he joins Kennedy and others, maybe Congress, they might get the stiff spine that they need. But really and truly, when it comes to Iraq, Bush has become a dictator. Before this nation can extricate itself from this war, it's going to have to come to terms with the fact that Junior is a dictator. He sees himself as a dictator. He acts like a dictator. He's treated like a dictator amongst, the people in his administration. And heaven help us if we don't realize that the guy is a dictator. What was it he said? Yeah, dictatorship's fine as long as I'm the dictator. Well, he is the dictator. Signing statements, how many illegal signing statements has he made? He has really given all of America the finger. He really has. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. I'm the president of the United States, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter to me. And he's shown us that attitude over and over and over again. He really has. We're going to pause for a quick break right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Chevy Chase. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Let's get them out of here. Ask your congressmember to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is First Lady Laura Bush. I have the unpleasant marital obligation to introduce the President of the United States for this new limited-time feature on weeklyradioaddress.com. It's called The Warmth of a President, and it is lovingly crafted to make George W. Bush less reviled by all Americans. This week, Meeting Jesus.
It happened right there in the Bible study meeting. I looked up from a conversation I was having with some of the other men, and there he was, standing there, on the other side of the crowded room, smiling at me. Our eyes locked, and it was an instant, unbreakable connection. I felt my heart skip a beat, as they say. I examined him closely. He wore a tattered, rag-like robe. His skin was a slightly darker hue, like that of an East Indian or mulatto. And he had a face like that of the movie star Mel Gibson, but more Jewishy. He tucked his flowing golden brown hair behind his ear as he knelt down to help an injured lamb. At first I was surprised that there was a wounded farm animal in the hotel conference room, but I was touched and filled with great rejoicing when he touched that lamb with his magical healing energy to mend the creature's broken leg. The goat ran free into a field of flowers. Jesus then stood and walked over to me and said, "Give all that you have to the poor and follow me." I got a good chuckle out of this comment and looked behind me to see if he was addressing someone else. As he stood there staring intently at me, my second thought was to call hotel security. See, I did not know in those days if Jews were permitted in the Houston Hyatt. But Jesus had a soothing quality about him, which made me forget about the laws of men. Was this a vision I was having? Perhaps I had had too much to drink, I wondered.
From the audiobook edition of Destined for Destiny, the unauthorized autobiography of George W. Bush, I'm your host, First Lady Laura Bush. Thank you for listening.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short head, yellow belly, son of tricky dick, he's gonna mother her, the top so meek, but just a pocket full of holes. Money for dough, money for
Ah, yes, John Lennon, All I Want is the Truth. Well, you can sing that down in front of the White House until you're blue in the face. You're not going to get any response. I had somebody send me a really cool clip from the BBC and typical British humor, you know. But the guy that was Mr. Bean, I can't think of what his name is. He was in this, and I'm going to play a little audio clip from it. But it points out... It fits perfectly with the mindset of Junior Bush about sending more troops into Iraq. And I think if you hear this, you'll know exactly what I mean.
Field Marshal Haig has formulated a brilliant new tactical plan to ensure final victory in the field.
Would this brilliant plan involve us climbing out of our trenches and walking very slowly towards the enemy, sir?
How could you possibly know that, Blackadder? It's classified information.
It's the same plan that we used last time, and the 17 times before that.
Exactly! And that is what is so brilliant about it. It will catch the watchful Hun totally off guard. Doing precisely what we've done 18 times before is exactly the last thing they'll expect us to do this time. There is, however, one small problem.
That everyone always gets slaughtered in the first 10 seconds.
That's right. And Field Marshal Haig is worried that this may be depressing the men attached.
Ah, yes. That's the same kind of logic that Junior Bush is using these days. What's the definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing and over and over and over, expecting the same result. I feel bad for these new troops having to head on over to Iraq. I noticed on Mark's show right before us here on the Head On Radio Network today, Mark Levine's show, he had a gentleman on there from the right. He was telling us about anecdotal stories about how the Iraqis love to have us there in Iraq and all that sort of thing, and that the soldiers have such great morale and all that. That flies in the face of everything that I've heard. Flies in the face of actual conversations and emails with some of our military that are over there now and have been over there. You talk to anybody less than under the rank of captain, you're going to hear the truth. You don't want to talk to the brass because they're not going to tell you the truth. Most of them won't anyway. And to some extent, I can understand that. I really can. And we also had our good friend friends from up at Florida. Why can't I never remember the name of this organization? And I don't want to screw it up. Florida Military Families Speak Out. And they sent us a cute little story here from their member Charlie Carlson that wrote this, I guess. And I just wanted to read it to you. I take a little bit of levity is always a good thing. He said, "This morning I received a telephone call from the United States Army Retired Mobilization Branch notifying me that I'm being placed on the standby list for recall to active duty. And since I officially hold the senior rank of Sergeant Major, I'm subject to recall until Christ returns. During Desert Storm, the other Bush War, I was recalled to active service for 9 months along with another Sergeant Major, a World War II vet who was 72 years old. He'd retired long before I entered the Army. He was a good soldier, and we still keep in contact, and he taught me how to use a cane while marching. Actually, he was in super physical shape. If the Army recalls me, then they'll have to retrain me since I've forgotten all the military stuff I learned, like which end does the bullet come out of an M16. Heck, I'll be back at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in a squad of 19-year-old recruits, and I wonder if my old drill sergeant's still there. His name was Sergeant Ford. A big, gruffy black fellow. He used to call me Shithead. Now he'll have to call me Sergeant Major Shithead. I'm due a little respect for my rank. So in preparation, I'm making a list of things that I will demand if called back to active duty. Number one, I will not cut my hair. I spent over 20 years with short hair, which was okay since I didn't have to buy a comb. Number two, I want to bring my rubber chicken to show Sergeant Ford, providing he's still there. Number three, I want to wear a dress whenever I get the urge. It worked for Klinger on MASH. Number four, I want to display a poster saying impeach Bush for war crimes. That would go well, wouldn't it? Number five, I will not work on weekends or after 1700 hours during weekdays. Number six, I want to protest the Iraq war on Wednesdays in front of the post exchange. Number seven, I will not carry a weapon because it's too hard to clean the damn things. The last time, when I was in Korea, a truck ran over my rifle and bent the thing into an L shape, which was good, as I was the only one who could shoot around corners. The Army tried to make me pay for it, which is another reason I don't want any government property. Number eight, I refuse to be a paratrooper this time. As a matter of fact, I refuse to ride in a plane, so I will demand they transport me by bus, train, bicycle, boat, rollerblade, skateboard, or any other mode other than air travel. Number nine, I want a job at the Pentagon tending the goldfish. And number 10, last but not least, I need new uniforms. I sold my old one to Bubba's GI Surplus and Tackle Store. Do you think they'll recall me? I would like to say I doubt it. However, having been recalled previously, I realize it's a genuine possibility. I was informed in the telephone notification by Mary What's-Her-Name, a GS clerk not subject to recall, that orders are being mailed and I would be required to undergo an induction physical. I can pass the physical, but as a war objector, I might have problems with the mental part. Having been in Vietnam, Cambodia, the phony Battle of Grenada, Panama, and El Salvador, I'm convinced that none of these conflicts had anything to do with defending the USA. With that said, I will refuse to go. Of course, I will lose my retirement, which is okay since they'll give me room and board in Leavenworth. Anyway, I guess I'll find out what happens soon enough now, but you gotta admit, Bush is really scraping the bottom of the barrel now. It will only get crazier. Thanks so much for that, Charlie. That's well written, and I got a few chuckles out of you, really did. Do you want me to tell you where this is posted? This is posted, I believe, at MFSO Florida. That's Military Families Speak Out Florida. MFSO Florida.tripod.com. That's MFSO Florida.tripod.com, and I think you'll find it there. So, thank you, Charlie. That's cute. I liked it. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Where are we going with this? Let me get a couple of PSAs out of the way. I'll be right back.
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsor.
Any more Americans would undermine our strategy of encouraging Iraqis to take the lead in this fight. And sending more Americans would suggest that we intend to stay forever, when we are in fact working for the day when Iraq can defend itself and we can leave.
Mr. Junior Bush saying we just don't need more troops over there. How long ago was that? It was last summer. But now we do. I don't know what's changed since last summer, other than there have been more killing and so forth. Now there's going to be more to kill, more soldiers over there. And, you know, it's nice of the president to give the insurgents, more targets. The more there are, the easier they are to shoot Americans. So that's what he's up to on this. Hope it doesn't turn out that way, but even he himself last night admitted that we could expect a lot of bloodshed in this year. That's hell when you think about that, the President of the United States standing there saying a thing like that. It really is. He's just out of touch with reality. He just is. And if you think the Democrats hate Bush, you might find that the Republicans are starting to hate him just a little bit, maybe even more, because the future of the Republican Party is very definitely linked with George W. Bush, and you can see what he's doing to the Republican Party right now. It may be decades, I hope, before they recover. it may be a very, very long time before they recover, this Republican Party. But do remember, this is nothing more, this whole thing of George W. Bush, the way he's acting and the things he's doing right now, it's nothing more than what his Republican Party wants him to do. You can be certain of that. Most of them. You heard one yesterday. You heard one yesterday on the program. Our friend Mike, the conservative from Texas, in full support, complete support of Junior Bush and his policies in Iraq. And so Bush really isn't going off the reservation when he does this. He's doing what his hardcore right-wing Republican base wants him to do. They want this war. They love this war. They backed it at the very beginning. They're backing it now. They do agree with us on one thing, that 20,000 troops isn't enough. They would rather send 100 or 200,000 in. They'd scrape them up somewhere. But the right wing is so adamant in what they want to do that they're willing to bet the farm on it. They're willing to send more troops over there. Whatever it takes, they're willing to do it to try and get what is it they say? A victory? And yet not a single one of them's ever been able to define what a victory in Iraq will be. Even Georgie himself last night said it wouldn't be your father's victory, like on the deck of a battleship. 866-546-5254. Let's go with the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'm for impeachment.
Okay, well, it makes it unanimous.
The man, you know, causes trouble everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
And he can cause a lot of trouble in a little time. You know, 2 years is just too much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this thing can backfire in a matter of weeks.
Days with him.
Sure.
And they're always conniving and plotting and planning and so forth. I think that he doesn't mind us losing all our young men because he knows that he can just open up and con the people from Mexico and so forth to come over here and offer them citizenship, and he'll have a big army from that. He doesn't care where it comes from.
Well, they are doing that, you know. They are offering them citizenship for being in our army. I've never understood that. Why, first of all, why would we ask? And secondly, why would somebody do it?
Well, but why would anybody believe him in the first place? But I don't know. I don't think I hate him, but he's always disgusted me. And I didn't distrust him as much as I do now, but it didn't take too long. I thought he had a little bit of decency, but I don't think the man has any decency.
No, I think he's totally devoid of human emotion and decency. I don't think he'd be able to define decency to you. I really don't think he would.
But I do believe that he wouldn't mind, you know, that all those people to him, people like us, we're just, we don't count.
Let's put it like it is, like this. We're cannon fodder.
And the women, you know, I mean, they can take all the jobs. They don't care whether we're slaves, whether we're living or whatever. You know, they don't care about the children. They just don't care.
You know, Juanita, I heard a Gold Star mother, and I feel bad for her, lost her son, but they had one Gold Star mother on that was for the war and one that was against the war last night. And the poor woman sat there saying, well, you know, think of the women. Think of the women in Iraq. They were walking around in burqas and everything, and now they're free. And now this, I think, wait a minute. First of all, they weren't walking around in burqas.
No.
Secondly, a lot of them were highly educated. And thirdly, they're not walking around at all now. They're staying in the house or they get their heads blown off. I couldn't believe that she said that.
Can I say something about all the money that's been spent
on
the war and everything? Something that I would like to say. I don't know how many people from overseas hears this, you know, in that area, hears your program. But I would like to say that as a citizen of the United States, I would have loved for all the money to have been spent in Afghanistan, for those people when they said they were going to rebuild it. I thought that would be wonderful. But no, they went over and they destroyed two countries. They left one that was already mostly destroyed, even worse off. And then Iraq, they destroyed this country. And these people, I bet they think, why me, you know? And I would have loved to have seen them, you know, give them lights and water. But the people that I resent taking away from, and they took away from us too, as you well know. I resent the people like Halliburton and so forth that they're just so greedy and so, you know, I don't know. I don't know a nice word to say for it.
No, I don't either. It's,
but these people do not care what happens to anybody as long as they make their money and they have their own little hunts and all like that, you know, from the poor helpless animals that are, they're not even hunting or anything. I'm just using that for an example. And the way they've treated the prisoners, I think the place for them to go is down to Cuba.
Yeah, down to Guantanamo.
And we don't have to torture them, but just let them live in those cages. They'll have sunshine. Give them an occasional plane ride over to some of those foreign countries, you know.
Well, there's much to be said for that. I agree.
But I'm serious. I just don't think they care, and I think that they want us to be slaves. Isn't there one of those books that was written where the people are working down underground for all these beautiful people up on?
Oh yeah,
I forget which.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it either.
Is it Brave New World or no?
Yeah, so one
of
those.
Something like that. One of those.
Yeah.
And I just believe that that's the way that they want us to be. They don't, because they don't give a happy about any of us.
No, they sure don't. They sure don't. We're there for their use, no matter what it may be, whatever, if it's war, if it's labor, whatever it is, we're there for their
mm-hmm.
use.
And we have to keep that in mind, that they don't care.
That's
and
right.
They make all kind of false promises. I made myself watch the speech.
Yeah, and I did too.
But anyhow.
Hey, thanks for calling.
That's what I got to say.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it was hard to watch that last night. It really was. I mean, I knew what was coming, but I did not know about the part about when they put out the speech earlier when it leaked out. There wasn't a part in there about Iran and Syria in it. I'm serious. So when he started in on that, I'm going, oh man, why didn't you go? You know, you... You're a farm boy like me. You learn early on in your life that when you see a big old beehive up in the tree, you know, the way they do, why it's not a good idea to put a stick into it. It just doesn't work out real well. And it's not a good idea to chase a skunk underneath an old building either. You don't want to. It's not a good idea to corner a rat. These things just don't work out very well. And it seems like Junior is just really good at it. And this raid today on the Iranian consulate, I forget what city it was in Iraq, but that's an absolute outright provocation right there. That is an act of war. And to do that, they must be crazy. They must be absolutely crazy doing that. And you know our military didn't do that without Bush's permission. You know that. So I think they're probably doing that with the hope that the Iranians will cause some sort of a military, come after us a little bit someplace, maybe a little raid off the coast on one of our ships. They're just praying for that. You know they are. And you know the Israelis are praying for that as well. They would love nothing more. Nothing more. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. This is Dave, and I just get back from a demonstration, and I understand they're happening in virtually every city in the country right now.
Good.
This one was in Eureka, and there'll be another one later tonight in Arcata, California. We had almost 100, probably 90-some people there, and this... is all triggered by the talk last night and then by the decision to invade a consulate or embassy there this morning. People are really, this is a turning point. Sometimes we try to plan a demonstration for a month and end up with 40 or 50 people, and this all came about just since they gave the talk last night.
Wow.
The people want us out of this war, and he's saying, I'm the decider, we're going to expand the war, and that's just pushing too many people. Right now, every Congress member is getting the message, we want them impeached. If you want to be our congressman, you will do what we want you to do. You'll represent our views, and that's what they're getting right now.
Well, and they should get it. They should get it from us every day. And Dave, you know, thanks for the reminder. We need to remind all of our listeners that every single day, you know, sound like a broken record, if you must. Call your congressman. Call your senator. Let them know. They hear you. They do. And they don't hear you because they care about it one way or another. They hear you because they're worried about being reelected. That's the only thing that matters.
Right. Right.
They didn't all of a sudden, a bunch of them, get a conscience and say, oh, gee, I better do something about this. They think, oh, hell, I may not get reelected. I better get on the ball here. That's what moves them. And, you know, I encourage everybody to do that every single day. Call them until you just keep bugging them. They're hearing it. I know they're hearing it. You know they are, too.
Because I've got a congressman here. He opposes the war, but he wants to tap dance on the question of anything like impeachment. But
mm-hmm.
He's sure hearing it today, and recently he's been hearing it, but I think more today than ever. I think you just try to call his office, and it's nonstop busy, and if you get through, they're getting the same message.
Well, you know, Dave, as soon as he starts to figure there's some safety in numbers, when he has enough company, why, then he'll open his mouth, and then he'll be for it. But he's going to have to wait until there's a hue and cry from many more. And we'll keep after him. We'll get it done. I think we're going to get it done. As you know, I predicted that's one thing that would happen this year. I said Junior Bush and Dick Cheney, I don't know, the team won't be there at the end of this year. One or both of them will be missing. And, man, that would be I'd be so happy to be right on that.
Well, you know, it has to be both. Nothing would be worse than President Dick Cheney.
Well, you know, I think they've been insurance for each other. I was thinking that the other day, that Cheney's been good insurance for Bush, because Bush knows damn well that people didn't want to impeach him because we'd get Cheney. But Cheney's also got to be thinking, oh man, if they impeach Bush, they're sure as hell going to come after me. I'll be the president, and I won't be able to be in little hidey hole all the time, and be at an undisclosed location. I'll have to be visible, and I know if I'm visible, they'll want me out of there too. So he kind of goes both ways a little bit.
And I think that even the slightest investigation, they're going to find some serious impeachable offenses. Both of them went out of their way to deceive us and to lie to create a war for their own personal profits, and I think that they can find out right off. You know, there's the Downing Street memos, there's the PNAC. They planned it, and they did it.
Hey, did you see that, Dave, that the PNAC group's disbanding? There's several of them going over to the American Enterprise Institute, which is not as radical, but just very radical nonetheless. But, yeah, they've shut down their little membership thing there, so...
Well, I think they can do that, but, you know, they're still on course. They're on a plan. They're overdue for invading Iran, and they're doing what they can to bring that about right
now. Oh, yeah. They're going to push ahead with that, no doubt about it.
I think that's where the world's going to draw the line and say, no, you don't get to invade one more country and then bring in every bit of military they can do to defend Iran.
One would hope. We're certainly not going to get any friends to go with us, except Israel, of course. They'll go. They'll follow in their planes behind our planes, but they'll get their nukes out.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah. There's nobody pushing it like they are. Man, they're frothing at the mouth for us to go over there and bomb Iran. They would love that. The AIPAC group, they've been pushing that for a long time now, so we shall see.
You ought to try to see what you can find out about these demonstrations, because I guess they're everywhere, like virtually every city in Oregon I was hearing this morning.
Excellent.
was putting together.
I did notice last night that right after the president's speech was over with, they interviewed David Gregory out there on the White House lawn, and you could hear him in the background. He said they'd come out since the speech, so that's a good thing.
Well, keep up your good work there, Guy, and let's see if we can accomplish something yet here.
Thank you, Dave. I think we will. So
thank
long.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Every day. Every single day. Call them. I don't care. I mean, mine's a Republican here, Mr. Cornelius McGillicuddy, Connie Mack, in other words. He's, I wonder if he's still dating the Bono woman, the Sonny Bono's ex. He's still married to his wife, as far as I know, but he was running around with Sonny Bono's ex. There you have, we have a little gossip column on this show, too. Extra, Guy James Show Extra. that's about all you're going. We don't have any Britney Spears news for you today. I don't have any Barbara Wawa and Rosie news. I'm just always a little behind on that sort of stuff. Don't know. 866-546-5254. You still got time to give us a call. We're going to pause for a quick old break, and I'll be right back.
This is Pete Seeger. What country comes to mind when you hear this? The government illegally spies on civilians, produces phony news reports. People are imprisoned without charge or access to a lawyer. Prisoners are tortured and killed, and an illegal war launched on the basis of lies in which illegal weapons are used against civilians, against journalists and hospitals. Unfortunately, the United States government is behind these actions. Fortunately, our Constitution has a remedy. It's called impeachment. Ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Well, there's many a strange impulse out on the plains of West Texas. There's many a young boy who feels things he can't comprehend. And a small town don't like it when somebody falls between the sexes. No, a small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. And I believe to my soul that inside every man there's the feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. Well, the cowboy may brag about things that he's done with his women, but the ones that brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys frequently, secretly fond of each other. Say, what did you think all them saddles and boots was about? And there's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother. And inside every cowboy there's a lady that'd love to slip out. Says what the others just whisper, and most Hopefully that someone's the first one to get shot down dead. So when you talk to a cowboy, don't treat him like he was a sister. You can't fuck with a lady that's sleeping in each cowboy's head. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think all them saddles and boots was about? And there's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother. And inside every lady there's a cowboy who wants to come out. And inside every cowboy there's a lady that loves to slip out.
You listen to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. I'm your host, Guy James, along with music director Billy Shears and the official Guy James Show Yorkies. Kukla and Sophie are in the studio today, so consider yourself so lucky. Ah, yes. We got time for one last phone call today, and let's do that right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hi, there. Let's do it. Now you're on the Guy James Show. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm Kelly from Nebraska.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about that guy that called you yesterday from the South and said that, well, you know, if I don't want to pay taxes, I get the choice of not paying taxes.
Oh yeah, he wanted to put it on the same levels of the draft and the war. And yeah, I remember.
Right. Well, isn't it a fact that most of those southern states take in more tax money than they pay in?
You're exactly right. Oh yeah, now they're going to be bombing us, buddy. But you are right. There are several of the southern states that take in get far more government money back than they pay in. You are right. I don't know if Texas is one of them. I'm pretty sure Mississippi is one of them. I'm pretty sure Alabama is one of them.
Yeah.
South Carolina. But yeah, you're right. That's true.
Well, and, you know, that's fine if he doesn't want to pay any taxes, but then if his house catches on fire, you know, I guess the fire station wouldn't come out and put it out for him.
No, they'd have to draw a little red circle about it, around it on the map there, and say, well, no, let's forget that one.
It just made me mad because, you know, the South is really making me mad anyway because they're a bunch of right-wing freaks. And I know I come from a red state, but it's not insane like down there. I just don't get it.
I know. I don't either. And of course, I can't say that about all the Southerners, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but come on.
It's pretty red. It's pretty red. I mean, I know a lot of great Southern folks who are Democrats. And,
sure.
And right here where I live, I'm in the South, although I've never really considered Florida the South.
Right.
It's more South than any of them, but in most ways, it's not the South. But, yeah, I know a lot of great folks that live in Texas and Alabama and Louisiana, Mississippi, and all the way down through there. But man, are they? How'd you like to be a blue person and live in those areas? I mean, it's tough, really tough.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And well, let's just put it this way: the ones that fly that Union Jack. Yeah.
Oh, the old stars and bars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, a lot of them don't want to give up on that, do they?
I mean, let's just put it that way. The ones that do that are free.
Yeah, I know which ones you're talking about. One with the big tires on the pickup trucks and the shotgun in the back window and the big Confederate flag, right, Frank? You know, the bigger flag, the better.
Yeah. He just drove me crazy with that.
Yeah, I know. I know. And he's not going to give up on it either. He's a hardcore right-winger and pleasant but misguided. Maybe we can switch him around. Hey, got to run. We're down at the end of the show. Thanks for calling from Nebraska. Where are you at in Nebraska?
Omaha.
Okay. I've been there. Love Nebraska. I'm a farm boy, so naturally I'd love Nebraska.
Sorry,
hey, thanks. Thanks
about
for calling.
Ohio.
Oh yeah, I know. Next time. Oh yeah. Well. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye.
Yeah. We'll have time to get over that now. Hopefully. Gonna take a while. Hey, we're down to the end of the show. Where does the time go? So glad you all joined us here today on the Guy James Show. Hope we informed you, entertained you, and kept you interested. Don't forget, this is a listener-supported program, and well, the piggy bank is little tummies growling there, if you know what I mean. And we sure would, of course, appreciate your support. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, and don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you later, gang.